Good morning, everybody. Today is do I sound really loud out there? It's great. Oh, great. Thank you, Angela. Bless you. It's not nice to lie in church, Angela. Today is a message that we do once a year here at New Hope Christian Center, and it centers around baptism. And I have had a lot of questions given to me about baptism, about what it is, what does it mean, how many different ways are there to baptize, is there one that's better than others? I've had people ask me, is it necessary? I've had people say, I was baptized as a child, is that good enough? I've had people say, how do I know if it sticks? Like it's glue or something. Should I get baptized multiple times? Some churches only baptize teenagers and adults. Others baptize children and babies. Some sprinkle water on the head. Some pour water on the head. Some people are immersed backwards. Some churches immerse face down. Some churches immerse three times. Some will baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and others in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So there's a lot of different teaching, a lot of different doctrine surrounding baptism. Here at New Hope Christian Center, I love to say we let the scriptures interpret the scriptures. It's always a sound way of learning and studying the Bible and finding out exactly what is truth and what is not truth. We live in a society that says that you can make up your own truth. And that's not truth. There is truth. And we stand by what the scriptures say. So I'm going to go through some frequently asked questions. What is baptism? If you go into the Old Testament, there is not one listed time of a baptism. In fact, the word is not even in the scriptures in the Old Testament. However, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 2, it says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So there's a New Testament reference to baptism in the Old Testament, but the word is actually not used in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Greek is, baptizo. And it means to dip repeatedly, to immerse or submerge like a sunken vessel. So according to the Greek word, it means to be immersed in water like a sunken ship. The next question, is it important to be baptized? Is it necessary to be baptized? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, which is our mission here at New Hope Christian Center, Jesus told his disciples, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." One of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples, go and make disciples and baptize them. So it is a demand or a command from Jesus to do so. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' And then John consented." Jesus himself was baptized before he started his earthly ministry. And he told the disciples, go and baptize others as well. So he was modeling for us the rite of baptism and what it means. Jesus gave the apostles three things to do: make disciples, baptize them, and oftentimes we leave out the last part, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. But it is what he left with the early church. It's what left with the apostles, he said, to baptize. So, is baptism a salvation issue? Is it a salvation issue? If you do not get baptized, you immediately go to hell. If you do get baptized, then you're going to heaven. Is it a salvation issue? So in Acts chapter 2, verses 38, it says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter says, repent and be baptized. So according to that scripture, and if you look at that scripture alone, it looks like it is a salvation issue. However, we need to look at the entirety of the scriptures. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. It doesn't say repent and turn to God and then be baptized. Baptized is not listed there. But it says if you repent and turn to God, that your sins will be wiped out without baptism. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Our youngsters are back. And they look really tired. But not as tired as Brooke. So it says that we are, it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. No listing of baptism or mention of baptism there. John chapter 5, verse 24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. So baptism is not mentioned in that scripture. And I think this is the icing on the cake for baptism an essential issue. In Luke chapter 23, verses 42 through 43, this is Jesus on the cross with the good thief and the bad thief on either side. And the good thief says, you don't deserve to be here, but I do. Remember me. Remember me. And Jesus replies, he then said, Jesus, remember me when you have come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. That young man did not get down off of the cross and go get baptized. Yet Jesus says, you will be with me today in paradise. So that means baptism is not a salvation issue. Every person who gets to the end of their life who has never accepted Jesus and they reach that moment where they're about to die and they ask for God to forgive them, they will be forgiven. Without baptism, they will be forgiven. But it is an act of obedience to what the scriptures say, to what Jesus has said. So what about infant baptism? I was raised Catholic, and I was taught, according to the Catholic teaching, that you cannot go to heaven unless you are baptized into the Catholic Church. When you go to Europe, and you go see the incredible duomos or the cathedrals, you will see another smaller building right next to them, and that is the baptistry. The Catholics believed that if you were not baptized into the church, the Catholic Church, you are going to hell. And the minute that a baby was born, they whisked that baby away and went to the baptistry and had it baptized. There was always somebody in there because there was a high mortality rate in childbirth for the little ones and the moms. So they would whisk them away and baptize them immediately, teaching that they are now secure in their salvation. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip, and Philip was teaching the gospel, he was spreading the word. When they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So it says there, first they believed, and then they were baptized. The clear teaching of Scripture is that all who believe in Christ as Savior and Lord should be baptized in obedience to Christ. The New Testament order is always the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the acceptance of the message by faith on the part of the hearers, repentance, and then baptism. So there has to be, in that order, hearing, accepting, repenting, baptism. That is the order listed in the Scriptures. Beyond that, we can argue that infant baptism is potentially detrimental. If an adult mistakenly assumes that because he or she was baptized as an infant, that he or she possesses salvation and is a member of Christ's church, then he or she is sadly deceived. There is no grace imparted in the physical act of baptism apart from the faith of the one being baptized. To count on one's infant baptism as the basis for standing before God is to trust in a false hope and a false doctrine. So teaching that as a baby you immediately receive your salvation and that you're good to go for the rest of your life is false teaching. And if a person believes that their entire life and dies in that way, they will stand before God. And I believe the Catholic Church will stand before God because they've given people a false hope through false doctrine. How old should a child be before they are baptized? I often have parents come, grandparents come, and say, hey, I want my child to be baptized. So how old should a child be before they are baptized? In Acts chapter 2, verses 36 and 38, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How old does a child have to be when they understand the gospel message? They need to understand that they are in sin and that they need to repent of that sin and then get baptized. Does that make sense? They need to be able to understand what it means to be baptized. I've often been asked about multiple baptism. I got baptized earlier, and I'd like to get baptized again. Some have come to me and said, I got baptized as a child in school or in church, but I really didn't understand what it was. I would like to get baptized again because I now understand. There's nothing in the Scriptures that says that you can only get baptized one time. But I often have parents and grandparents that bring their kids along and say, I want them to get baptized. And I say, do you want to get baptized? Because many children get baptized for someone else. And I've had people come to me and say, I got baptized for my grandma when I was a kid. But now I understand, and I want to do it for me. Amen? So the early church, they did not have the New Testament like we do. The early church was living in the New Testament, but they didn't have any scriptures on baptism because there was nothing in the Old Testament on how to do it, what was the right way to do it. So there is a treatise, it's called the Didache, and it was circulated amongst the early churches, and it was kind of a guideline on how you're to do church and how you're to baptize and how you're to do all these different things that was brand new to this early church. And so according to the Didache is also known as the Lord's teaching through the 12 apostles to the nations. It is a brief, anonymous, early Christian treatise written in Koine Greek, dated by modern scholars to be 1st or 2nd century. So they were circulating this to help churches kind of understand, well, how do we do this thing? And it's very interesting on what they came up with here. So what is the right way? According to the Didache, chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, but concerning baptism, baptize in this way. Having first recited the Christian precepts, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit in running water. But if you do not have running water, baptize in some other water, meaning still water. And if you cannot baptize in cold water, then do so in warm water. You see, I'm getting into a pool today, and it has not been very warm lately. And I was praying this morning, and I told Kina and Brandon, I says, I prayed that you bought that pool warmer so that it's a nice, balmy 82 degrees. And they just laughed at me. So I'm going to ask them to join me in the pool today. Okay. Baptize in running water. If you don't have it, baptize in some other water. If you cannot baptize in cold, then do so in warm water. I have a hot tub, by the way, at my house, and I thought about moving it to my house. No, we'll do it. We'll do it. I'll do most of my talking outside the water, and then we'll get in and we'll do quick dip. Quick dip. And do so in warm water. But if you have neither, pour water 3 times on the head in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But before the baptism, let him who baptizes and him who is baptized fast previously, and any others who may be able. And you shall command him who is baptized to fast 1 or 2 days before. We don't do that. To get into a cold pool, hungry? Not going to happen. Unless the Lord tells me to fast 2 days, then I shall not fast 2 days and then get into the roach's cold pool. In Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 36, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as the lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, hey, look, here's some water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? This man, he heard the good news, he accepted the good news, and he wanted to be baptized. And he said, look, here's some water. How about getting baptized? And I have a lot of people say, do you have to get baptized by a pastor? Nope, you do not. I've baptized in rivers. I've baptized in lakes. I've baptized in my hot tub. I've baptized in pools. It simply is an act of acceptance and recognizing that you are a part of God's family. Amen? So what does a baptism mean according to the scriptures? I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. You guys are going to get out of here oily. What does baptism mean according to the scriptures? Baptism is a rite of immersion in water as commanded by Christ, by which one, after confessing his sins and professing his faith in Christ, having been born again by the Holy Spirit and unto new life, identifies publicly with the fellowship of Christ and the church. It is an outward appearance of an inward change, is exactly what baptism is. Baptism symbolizes total identification with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Baptism symbolizes our identification with Christ's church. And baptism symbolizes cleansing from sins. Before you go into the water, you have your sin. When you go into the water, you're cleansed. When you come out of the water, just as Jesus came out of the earth, you're recognizing the resurrection. It is simply the gospel. It is the good news. And it is a public statement. And the thing is there are people who are being killed because of baptism. Because belief in Jesus is not allowed. It is something that we should do. It is an act of obedience. Is it an essential issue? Absolutely not. But Jesus said, teach them, command them to obey everything that I have given to you. And that is one of the things. Baptism is one of those things. So if you've never been baptized, I would encourage you to do so, because it is a bending of the knee before Jesus Christ and being obedient to what he has said. That's what it is. That is what it is. It is a declaration that I associate with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I belong to his family as an adopted son or daughter. That's what baptism is. There's a lot of teaching out there, like I said. A lot of bad teaching. A lot of dangerous teaching. But here, we let the scriptures interpret the scriptures. And once you hear, what you do with it is between you and God. It's between you and him. I'm not going to drag you by the ear or the scruff of the neck and throw you in that pool. It is a surrendering and an identifying with the blood that was shed on the cross, the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we want to thank you for sending your Son to die an excruciating death upon a cross that we deserve to be on, for he was without sin. Yet he accepted that. And through his resurrection, we have been given an offer, a free gift of salvation, of being reconciled and restored to you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And I pray that today's words have touched the hearts of people here, and that they will accept the gospel message. That they would repent and make that decision to take that next step of baptism. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have done in our lives. And I pray for every Bible-believing church across this world, that your Spirit would rise up in them and that they would allow you to be the head of the church. We thank you. We praise you. And ask that you would bless and anoint the baptism that we are having today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.